Hello, Overflow. How you guys doing tonight? Good. Well, my name is Zach, and if we haven't had the chance to meet before, I am a part of the Overflow staff, and I have the awesome opportunity to be our Overflow Connect coordinator. So my whole job is centered around the idea of bringing you guys in, whether that's through small groups or whether it's through our Overflow campus organization or serving opportunities or missions, whatever it looks like, it's my job to kind of help bring you guys together and really form this community that we are at Overflow, to help you get connected to that. So that is my passion. I feel like I have the best job in the world. And it's kind of crazy because when I think about it, I have really loved community for a long time. So when I first moved to Wilmington, I was a freshman at UNCW, and I was really excited until I got here, and I was like, oh, hold on, I only know two people here. okay, wait, how do you make friends? Oh gosh, what am I gonna do? I got like real stressed as soon as I got here because I'm like an extrovert. I love people, but all of a sudden I got really nervous because for most of my life I've had some good, strong community wherever I've gone. So what's awesome is pretty early on I met my orientation leader, and she was awesome. She helped introduce me to a lot of people. She actually met me at Overflow one night as a freshman, which is really cool just to even be here now. And really, she kind of inspired me because she brought me in, made me feel like I was welcome, made me feel like I was at home in Wilmington. And so later on, I decided to jump on and to be an orientation leader at UNCW as well. Now, I don't know how many of you know what that looks like, but basically, orientation leaders are glorified camp counselors, which I feel is kind of like, maybe it was like my highest calling in life. I don't know. But it was awesome. So, you know, you divide up into groups. If you guys were at orientation, you probably hated it. I loved it. So anyway, so you divide up into groups, and it's supposed to be a time where you can learn more about the school. You can have any questions that you have answered. You can meet other people. And so I was all about that. So something else that you do as an orientation leader is you come up with a team name or a group name, and you have a group cheer or a group chant. Well, I found this the other day. This was my orientation sign. I was Zach's Zoolanders. Yep. And in case you were wondering, we were the group for really, really ridiculously good-looking people. Yeah. You ever like look back on your life and you're like, I'm really dumb. Like, why did I do that? Yeah, it gets worse. So we didn't have like a team song. We had a team like chant that we did. And when we saw someone else that was a Zach Zoolander walking around orientation or campus later on, we would say, Zach, you be looking good. Like that was it. Like you would say, you be looking good. It's like not correct English. I understand that. But like I don't even know how it came about, but that's what happened. And it was all fun and games until one of my students came up to me and they said, hey, I have something to show you. And someone had, at the end of every orientation, there's this big academic honors pledge where all the freshmen come and sign their name. It's really great. They hang it up in the wall. Well, someone had written on the academic honors pledge in like this big permanent marker, Zach Canby, you be looking good. So needless to say, I'm like mortified. Also, the vice chancellor comes over to me and she was like, it's like, that is not even correct grammar. Like, she was, like, so mad about it. Anyway, that's even, like, kind of beside the point. But that is where I first learned how much I love community. And just another side note is that, gosh, I remember being in college, and for so long, I was like, God, what do you want me to do with my life? God, what are you calling me for? How have you made me? What am I good at? What should I pursue as a career? And I felt like he was just giving me nothing. But at the same time, I was working as an orientation leader. And then I got a job as an orientation coordinator, and I got a job as an RA, and I was working as a Seahawk link. I was doing all these jobs that were surrounded by community, and so now I can look back and say, oh, God, that's what you were doing. This whole time, you were pulling out passions in me, you were pulling out things in me that you were preparing me for, And I believe the same thing for you guys. I think God's doing things in your lives right now that he's preparing you and calling you for, even if you have no idea what that is. Even if you feel like I'm in the most random season of my life, it's like I promise you, God is doing something right now. And that has also nothing to do with our talk tonight. That's just for free. So, so what are we talking about tonight? We are talking about community, which I love, but even more specifically, we are talking about friendship. Now, I think some of you guys might be kind of wondering, okay, why are we going to devote a whole night to friendship? Well, I think that there's a lot of really great reasons. The first is that I saw a study last week that they looked at thousands of people that lived to the age of 100, and they were like, we're going to figure out what the common thread is that's keeping these people alive, because how do we do that? How do we get to live to be 100? So, of course, a lot of the things that you think would be on there are exercising, eating healthy, not smoking, you know, not drinking too much, you know, all these kind of things. Those things were on the list, but they were very, very low. There was actually two things on the list that were like a huge indicator that almost everyone had in common whenever they reached the age of 100. The second was having people in your life that you feel like you can call on in a time of crisis. Having people in your life that you care about and that you know if you need something, they will come and they will be there for you. That's pretty crazy, right? Then the number one thing that kept that people had in common that determined life longevity is having people that you feel that like that you can do life with. That's crazy. The top two things that made people live these long, enriching lives were friendships. So I think that's huge. And not just that, but I also think even maybe more importantly, definitely more importantly, is that relationships and friendships are important because they're important to God. See, as I've been reading the Bible, as I've been studying, the more I learn, the more I learn how God is so relational. He cares so much about how we do relationships. I could do like a whole 30-minute talk on this, so I'm not going to do that. But I am going to say, so it's cool. In Genesis 2, we see right after God created all of creation, and then he created Adam. For so long, everything was good. God made it, and it was good. God made it, was good. Well, God made Adam, and then he realized that he was alone, and he said, that's not good. So he created him a companion that he could do life with. Also, it's cool, later on in the next chapter, Genesis 3, you see God is walking through the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And it says he was walking through the cool of the garden. I just love that image. But what's awesome is the Hebrew phrase walking with actually means friendship. So God was walking with Adam and Eve, but he was also in relation. He was also in friendship with Adam and Eve. So, relationships, friendships are important to God. So the question is, how are we doing? Like, what's the assessment? Are we doing a good job? And something that is crazy that I found out is that even though that we are more connected than we've ever been before, through social media, through technology, we have so many people that we are in connection with. They've found that the amount of people that we feel like we can actually call in a time of crisis is drastically decreasing. It's been decreasing since the 1950s, but it's drastically kind of coming down even further as we get older. Part of that could be the fact that, we talked about this in a series last year, but the average American spends 10 hours of screen time a day, meaning they're on their phone, they're on their iPad, they're on their watch, they're on their watching TV, they're watching Netflix, they're on their computer. And so maybe that has something to do with that, but if you really want, we can dive back into that. You can find that on our blog. But if friendships are important, but they're decreasing so quickly, it's like we've got to figure out what's going on. So the problem is, I think we struggle doing friendships well. So we have to figure out our state of friendships. Like, what state are you in right now with your friendships? I think a lot of us have what I would call pseudo relationships, fake. people that we follow mutually. Maybe we follow each other on Instagram, or we Snapchat each other, whatever it is. We have a lot of relationships, but actually they're not people that we talk to in real life. Have you ever witnessed two people that know each other on social media, like meet in person, and it just watch the most awkward interaction unfold in your life? You're like, this is painful. Yeah, I think that's a lot of us. I think we have a lot of pseudo relationships. I also think that we have a lot of circumstantial relationships. We have people that we come to overflow with. We have people that we go and play sports with. We have people that we go and watch certain shows together. But I think the problem is a lot of those circumstantial relationships just end at that. It's like, oh, we go and we do that, and then that's about it. And so the rest of our lives are kind of closed off because it's, oh, we just do this together. We do this together. So they're so compartmentalized that we actually don't have a lot of deep and meaningful relationships outside of those. Also, maybe if you're like me, I think one thing that's easy for me to kind of slip into is just like being an extrovert, loving people. I can just meet people so fast. I can be so excited about meeting people. And the problem is when you move fast in relationships, you're like a boat. And the faster you go, the more shallow you become. And so if you're going really fast, just going from thing to thing to thing, friendship to friendship to friendship, meeting with someone, going to this event, doing this, that the reality is that those are going to be some shallow relationships. We also have to figure out what the stages of friendships are, right? So when you first meet someone, it's like, to me, it's like one of the best things. You meet someone and all of a sudden you're like hitting it off and you're like, wow, we have this in common, this in common, this in common. You like this too? It's like you start freaking out, and then it's like, wow, we are the same person. And that is what I call the honeymoon stage of friendship. And that's because everything is good, everything's exciting. It's like you're not worried about all the other things because you're really just focused on how good everything is, how similar you guys are. But then what happens after? It's almost like there's just a switch. Maybe it starts with like one thing of like, someone says something to you and you're like, maybe not. I don't agree with you on that. And then you're kind of like awkward, you know? It's like, oh, maybe we're not the same person. And then like the more you figure out about someone, the more it's like all you can focus on. Like at first, all you could focus on was how similar you were, how you're the same. And then it's like the more you focus on your differences, the more you just think, oh, we are completely different. And so what happens is a lot of times when things get really different, for us, they get really difficult. We really struggle to be around people for a long time that feel very different than us. So the question is, what are we going to do? Well, I have some things tonight that I'm excited to get to of just what the Bible says about creating strong, true, godly friendships. And we're going to get there. But one thing I would love to do first, and this is something we don't normally do at Overflow, I understand. But in the light of community and talking about friendship, I would love for you guys to be able to group up in about 3 or 4. You don't have to move too far, but if you're like completely off by yourself, you'll have to come in. But maybe you're here with people that you already know. Maybe you're sitting next to someone that you don't know. It's the opportunity to make a new friend. And what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about this. I'm going to give you 2 questions. And for 5 minutes, I'll set a clock for 5 minutes. You guys can do it. Talk to someone to the people that you're around. And we're going to discuss what drives you crazy in friendships. Like, what are the things, like, what makes friendships difficult? Now, be careful, because some of you are here with your friends, so... we're also going to talk about what things make a best friend, and I'm going to give you guys 5 minutes to do that. Are you ready? Go. All right. You guys good? Did you figure it all out? Did you figure out friendships? Probably not. That's okay. That's what we're going to do now. We're going to figure them out. Okay, so... I realize we could talk about friendships for a long time, but we don't always just have the right words to say. We don't have the perfect wisdom. So instead, what we're going to do is we're going to go to the book of Proverbs, which is a book on wisdom. And I think that's the reality, is that we need wisdom when it comes to relationships. So I'm going to throw out a bunch of Proverbs your way, but I've really, just as I was reading through, I kind of pulled them out and put them into 4 different chunks. For those of you guys that are type A organizational freaks like myself, hopefully you'll enjoy this, but know that we're going to go through these and then we're going to come back, so keep that in mind. Okay, the first thing that I pulled out of Proverbs is that these are kind of like the building blocks of friendship. The first one, I would say, is consistency. Consistency. Proverbs 17:17 says, "A friend is always loyal." Another translation said, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born to help in a time of need." This is one thing that I love. It's crucial. It's that friends love at all times, not just when things are good, but also when things aren't so good. And this is already pretty difficult, right? It's really easy for us to love people when things are going well and they're fun to be around and we're having a blast. It's not so easy to love people when they're going through a hard time. It's interesting. I think it's interesting right now. You know, Drake has a song, "No New Friends," and he's talking about the idea of, like, gosh, now that I'm a celebrity, he's like, I don't need any new friends because all my new friends are just going to come and try and take something from me. Like, they're there for the highs, but they're not going to be there for the lows. Taylor Swift came out with a whole album called Reputation, and the whole thing is about how basically everyone ditched her when her reputation went bad. And so now she's like, the only people that matter to me are the people that stuck around even when my reputation was not good. So I think that's interesting. I think they're onto something. Proverbs 18:24 says, "There are friends who destroy each other, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother." I love that. I think that the reality is that you can't be a true friend to someone without being available. And you're not going to be a true friend to someone if you can't stick around when things aren't going so well. So we'll come back. On to the next one. The second thing that I pulled out was understanding. If you're going to be a good friend, you have to have understanding. Proverbs 25:20, this is a kind of an interesting Proverbs, but I like it. It says, "Singing cheerful songs to a person with a heavy heart is like taking someone's coat in cold weather or pouring vinegar in a wound." I think it's such an interesting proverb because it's like, well, of course, if someone's cold, I'm not going to take their coat. But the reality is that a lot of times we have friends that come around and we just wished they understood how we think, right? I think this maybe comes out the most clear with roommates, because you come home after a hard day and you're stressed out and you're just like, you know, your roommate comes and they're just blah, 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 talking, you know, like they're so excited to like talk to you and you're like, ah, why don't they understand? I just need to like be by myself right now. Or maybe you're having a really hard time, or maybe you have something really exciting that you want to share. You come home, and you're so excited to share, and you're like, "What's up, roomie?" And they're like, "Hey." And you're like, "Oh, just understand that I just want to share this with you right now. Gosh, I want to be here." I think that's the idea. Is that it gives us a picture of in order to be a friend, we have to be able to be growing in understanding of how other people are. We have to have an appreciation and an awareness of who they are as people. Proverbs 17:9 says, "Love prospers when a fault is forgiven, but dwelling on it separates close friends." And I think we all know that to be true, right? And I think that it's really easy when someone has done something that has hurt you or offended you or made you mad, it's really difficult to turn around after say someone does something to you, they show up the next day and they're having a terrible day and they just need to talk about it. And you're just like, oh, you want to talk about your day? Let's talk about what happened yesterday. You know, it's so hard for us to be understanding when we feel like we're owed something by someone else. So if we are going to be a good friend, we're going to have to grow in understanding. And this is something else that I read. The idea is empathy here. I read an article the other day that talked about how millennials over the past 10 or 15 years, the levels of empathy that we have dropped by 40%. 40%. Empathy is the ability to put ourselves in someone else's shoes and to consider how someone else might feel. We just have forgotten how to do that. Like, we don't know how to think about others, to consider others over ourselves. The next building block to friendship is honesty. Proverbs 27:5-6 says, "An open rebuke is better than hidden love. Wounds from a sincere friend are better than many kisses from an enemy." And you listen to that and you're like, what? It's like, my enemy's not going to be kissing me. But I love the language that they use here because it's so convicting when you really think about it. If we're going to be a real friend, if someone is a real friend to us, then they're going to do whatever it takes to tell us the truth, even if it might wound us. They're going to be sensitive about it. They're going to be understanding of who we are. But they're going to tell us because the reality is that the opposite of telling the truth is what the psalm or what this proverb is saying, is that if you're not telling the truth, if you're just saying something to make someone feel good, then you're actually acting as their enemy. I feel like that's pretty convicting. Proverbs 28:23 says, "He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than the one who has a flattering tongue." And it's the same idea. It's the same idea. One thing that I love that Mike, our pastor here, says a lot is he talks about how relationships are defined by what's off limits. And so I talk to so many people all the time who say, gosh, I would talk to her about this and how everyone hates that she does this, or everyone's wondering why this guy is doing this. But it's like, I'm not going to talk to him about it. I can't do that. If I did, they would stop talking to me. If I did, then they would hate me. If I did, we just won't talk for a week. It's like, are you going to be willing to be honest in your friendships for the sake of growing? And that takes us into the last one. The last point that I drew out of Proverbs is counsel. Now, counsel is the idea of confiding in other people. It's the sharing of secrets. And to me, counsel requires the rest of these three. It requires you to be consistent and to be around in someone's life to be able to have permission to speak into their life. There has to be a certain level of understanding. You have to know me, to know who I am, to be able to speak to me, to be able to say something to me. And especially if you're going to be doing it with some real honesty, some things that I might not want to hear. And that's the idea of counsel. Also, it's the idea of not just, it's going to be a balance of reassurance, of encouragement, but also some accountability and challenge. Proverbs 27:9 says, "The heartfelt counsel of a friend is as sweet as perfume and incense." And I love this because when you think about this day and age when Solomon wrote this, it's like, we don't know how often they bathed. Like, chances are they probably didn't smell very good. They didn't have deodorant. Like, you know, a breath of fresh air might very literally be, like, really important sometimes. But what's even better than that is when you are somewhere where something smells so good. You know, for me, it's like when there are cookies in the oven, holy cow. Like, that's all I can think about. It's all I can think about. It's like what I'm longing for. And I think it's the same idea. Like, when something smells so good, you desire it. And that's how counsel from friends is supposed to be for us. It's supposed to be something that we desire. Another thing I love about this analogy is that when you've been in the counsel of good people, like when you've been around something that smells really good, after you just finished laundry, you like walk past everyone and everyone's like, you smell good, you know? I think it's the same idea. When you've been around good counsel, people notice. I think the opposite's true. I think when you've been around bad counsel, when you have a bad smell, have you ever just like, oh my gosh, my shirt smells like, I don't know. There's a certain coffee shop I go to, and it's like every time I leave, I just smell like it, and everyone knows that I've been there. I think it's the same way. I think when we've been around bad counsel, when we've been around people who are telling us things that aren't true or aren't good or aren't edifying, then we end up smelling like it, and we take that to the other people that we go and we encounter. Proverbs 27:17 says, "As iron sharpens iron, so friends sharpen a friend." And I love this idea because it really is this idea of building each other up, of making each other better. And it's so crucial, so important in friendship. One thing I said, I wrote down, is that you're never going to be the person that you could be unless you have healthy, godly relationships. So one thing I want to do now is, those are kind of like the four building blocks. And I think earlier when I asked the question, what makes a really good friend, or what makes friendships really difficult, I think that all those things that we discussed tonight probably boil down to whether people are doing these things for us or whether they're not. But the problem is that I think that whenever I went through when we first kind of looked at these verses, if you guys are like me, when I was first reading over these verses, I was making a list of my friends that do these things or don't do these things. And I was really just focused on like, man, yeah, you're right. My friend so-and-so never does this for me. But I think the real thing that we need to consider tonight is that what if friendship isn't about what you get out of it, but what you give to it? What if friendship isn't about what you get from it, but what you give to it? What if friendship is about what you're willing to sacrifice, what you're willing to give, what you're willing to lay down? So the question I think we need to ask ourselves is, have I really considered how to demonstrate friendship to those that are closest to me? Because I think the odds are if we haven't considered that, then you actually might not be a good friend. I think the reason why some of us don't have great friends is because we are not great friends ourselves. And that's a hard reality check, right? So one thing I want to do is I want to read back through these points, through these building blocks of friendship. And instead, this time, I want to use it more of a personal checklist. I want it to be a way to just kind of gauge and see how you're doing when it comes to the friend that you are being to others. First one is consistency. Are you there for people when things are going good? Probably. Are you there for people when things are not going good? When someone's having a really hard time, are you like, okay, I'm just going to peace out, wait for them to kind of figure their stuff out, and then when they're good again, sweet, let's hang out. The reality is I've been on both sides of this. At college, I went through a rebellious stage, and I got surrounded by a lot of people that I realized didn't actually care about me, because as soon as I decided to start living in a different way, they weren't interested in hanging around me. But what was cool is I came to Overflow, and I started making friends, and I found old friends that were so excited for me to be back. They were so excited. They weren't asking all these questions of what I had done and, you know, how could you? They were just so supportive. They were so excited to be there for me. It was life-changing. The next thing is understanding. So are you growing in an understanding of your friends? Are you able to really discern their needs? Because the reality is if you love someone, if you care about someone, you're going to be considering them. You're going to be thinking about ways that they are when they're their best. You're going to be thinking about ways they are when they're not their best. And you're going to have grace and you're going to have patience when they're not at their best because you know who they could be. So are you growing in empathy? How are you with honesty? When you have a friend that really has something that's going on that you feel like you need to address, maybe all your other friends are talking about it, but not to their face, are you willing to go up and to have a hard conversation with them? If not, I think the reality is what we're saying is that I love myself too much to go through telling that person the truth. I'm too concerned about keeping everything good and easy and clean on my side, and I don't want to go mess that up. So I'd rather them suffer than just to have to sacrifice a little bit of myself for their betterment. Counsel. Man, are you finding yourself being able to confide more in other people? Do you have people that you can go to and talk about real things? Do you have people that you feel like know you, but it also can bring you honesty so that they can bring you counsel? Do you have people that are in your life that are determined to make you better? Or are they just focused on how they're going to make themselves look better? So one thing that I think would be good now, and I know this might be hard, but this is something that I really truly believe, that if we focus in on this, that we can see some huge life change in our lives. This was life-changing for me, so I'm believing the same for you guys. So I want to give you guys an opportunity to make this real, to think about these things, and not just think about them, but to even speak them, because I think there's power in speech. So one thing that I would love to do is we got in groups earlier, and we got to talk about, you know, the highs and lows of friendship. I'd love if you guys would get back with them now. We're going to set a timer just for 3 minutes for you to go around and just share. Maybe it's one of these things: consistency, understanding, honesty, counsel. And I don't want you to focus on someone else. I want you to focus on yourself and say, what's one area that I can be growing? And if you have time, you can give an example. But we're just going to put 3 minutes up on the clock just for you to have a chance to reflect on this and to share something that you're learning right now. So you guys can go ahead and take it away. Thank you guys for sharing. I hope that this is a conversation that keeps going amongst friends. One thing I'd like to do now is just to share you an example of how some of these things impacted me. So a lot of you guys know Clay Everett. He's our pastor here at Overflow. He's also my boss. And the reality is that we've been friends for about 4 years now. So you know, we've always had a pretty good friendship throughout the 4 years of just working together. But 3 years ago, or a year ago, I came on full-time at Overflow. And it was a difficult transition for me, just because I'd come on from running a business full-time. So making that switch to working full-time here was just kind of stressful. I had some, like, things going on at work that were just, like, you know, kind of driving me crazy. Like, they were good, but I was just, like, frustrated. And even specifically, you know, with Clay, there was things that I wanted to, like, bring to his attention, because there was things that I felt like, you know, deep down, I was like, I don't know if he's, like, trying to set me up to fail, or if he, you know, realizes that he's giving this to me or he's not giving this to me. And so it worked out well, because when I first came on full time, Clay asked, you know, he was like, what can I do to help you as you transition into full time? I said, well, you can mentor me. And he said, oh. I was like, I don't really think he knew what he was getting into when he committed to that, but that's okay. So what that looks like is we meet together once a week. And a lot of times we just catch up and we ask each other how we're doing. We catch up on life. We talk about sometimes we'll talk about things at work. We'll talk about how things are going in our personal lives. We'll talk about things that we are learning spiritually, ways that we're growing, ways that we're being challenged. And so when all this frustration was kind of going on, especially after 1 week, I knew that we were going to meet on Friday. Friday was approaching, and we were going to have to talk. And I was kind of at a point, I was like, do I bring these things to his attention? Do I say these things that are on my mind, even though they're not completely fleshed out? They're not perfectly worded. It's actually still pretty raw, because I'm feeling some strong emotion about this. And I was just like, okay, I just got to do it. So we meet for lunch, and the question happens, you know, so how are you? And I mean, I laid it all out on the table, you know, and I probably got pretty heated, because I can do that sometimes. And I was just saying, you know, like, gosh, this is going on, and I feel like this should be this way, and I'm frustrated about this, and I feel like you said this to me, and I just don't understand why you said that, and this happened, and it hurt me, and it frustrated me, and, you know, I just started sharing all these things, and some of them were even just personal things to him, of like, I feel like you could be doing this better for me. So, I kind of finished saying everything that I needed to say, and then was like, oh, now he has to respond. didn't think through that part. Okay, how is he going to take it? Okay. And, You know, so if you guys know Clay, he is like the most like easygoing, kind, compassionate, just can let something like roll off his back kind of guy. And so I was like, okay, well, yeah, good old Clay is about to be himself and just make everything okay. And I think for the first time, I kind of saw some, like in a moment, after I like finished talking, I just kind of felt things turn. I was like, oh no. Like, I just felt this, like, this sense of, like, there was some frustration, you know? Like, there was some, like, I felt like he was about to bring the hammer down on me and be like, you know what? Well, you've been doing this wrong. You haven't been doing a good job of this. You need to fix this. You should be helping me with this. So I was, like, freaking out. I was like, oh, gosh, I've made the unmaddable Clay. Clay who can't get mad is about to be so mad at me. And so I said, hold on. I said, I just need you to know that the things that I'm thinking, the things that I'm feeling right now, I know aren't true. I said, I know some of these things that I even am tempted to say, like, Clay did this to me, or he did this to me on purpose. It's like, I know that that's not true, but it's how I feel. So I just needed you to know what's been going on in my head and in my heart so that I wouldn't hold it against you. And I was like, oh, okay, so now what happens now, you know? Like, and then there was a moment, he took a breath, and I felt everything change. And he said to me, thank you. I was like, what? He said, thank you for sharing. And what I realized was in that moment, I just felt this weight come off my shoulders. And it wasn't just weight of our circumstances, it was this weight because I think a fear that I had is if I really share what's going on in my head or how I'm feeling with Clay, then he's just gonna like peace out, be like, whoa, that is way too much. You are too much. I made the wrong choice in hiring you. But instead, he was there. He was consistent. He was also there, and he met me with so much understanding, even though he didn't understand everything that I was thinking or why I would feel that way or why I would react that way. But he met me with understanding and saying, even though I don't completely understand, I'm going to pursue understanding why you feel the way that you feel because I care about you. He also met me with honesty. I mean, I brought honesty to him, but he also met me with honesty too. It's like when I was able to share, he was also able to share as well. And then lastly, I mean, that just opened the door for us to be able to have consistent, continual conversations that were real. Conversations where we could say things that challenge one another. Situations where we can talk about things that encourage one another because we are determined to make each other better. And when I realized that, I mean, it like all clicked for me in a moment. And when I felt just the weight of that, I was like, this just feels so right. And everything that I was so scared of just like went to the side. And everything that, like a godly, like true friendship is supposed to be just like washed over me. And as I was just sitting there, it's like I was just like, what's going on? Like, and I was just, I had tears just rolling down my face. I'm like not a crier. So I was like, what is going on? My eyes are leaking, you know? And, but I think that that's the reality is that when you guys find true, real, godly friendship, that it's gonna hit you hard because you're gonna know when you found it. I'm gonna share this verse. I think it's really cool because the past 4 weeks at church, Mike has been doing a series where he's been talking about Abraham and Isaac. And he talked about it last week at Overflow as well. And I was reading this past week, James 2. He says, can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Don't you remember that our ancestor Abraham was shown to be right with God by his actions when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see, his faith and his actions worked together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And so it happened just the same as scriptures say, Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith, and he was called God's friend. So you see, we are shown to be right with God by what we do and not by faith alone. So Abraham was called a friend of God, not by his intentions, not by saying, okay, God, I love you, but because he proved it with what he did. And his faith was made complete by his actions. And I love that because I think the reality is that there's a lot of people in this world that we say, oh yeah, I'm their friend. But we're not always willing to prove that friendship. But that's what I'm telling you. That is what real friendship looks like. Real friendship looks like we're going to prove to each other that we're friends. And I'm going to be willing to make a sacrifice, just as Abraham was willing to make a sacrifice. And when that happens, we discover what true friendship looks like. So where do we get the power to be a good friend? Where do we get the power to be the kind of friends that we need to be to others? Well, John 15:13 says that there is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friends. See, God is the example of the ultimate friend. God not only created friendship, he demonstrated it for us. And that's something that just literally blows my mind when I think about it, is the fact that God, while we were still his enemy, while we still had all this junk that was keeping us from God, that he decided to not only be our friend, but to prove it. And he proved it with Jesus. He proved it with someone who lived their life perfectly to sacrifice his son so that we could become friends of God. Because God is a friend to us, we can be a friend to others. And our pursuit of healthy friendships can be a reflection of God's pursuit of us. See, when people see the sacrifices that we are going to be willing to make for our friends, that'll be a reflection to others. They'll be able to catch a glimpse of the sacrifice that God made for them. And that's something that's so huge, guys. Like, I am really believing that if we are willing to get over ourselves, if we can learn to be more empathetic, if we can learn to stick around when things are hard, if we can grow in honesty in our friendships, if we can learn to counsel one another, that we are not only going to just see a difference in the lives of the friends that we have, we're going to see huge changes in the community here at Overflow. We're going to see huge changes in the way that people at UNCW and Cape Fear see Christians, because they're going to see that we're pursuing each other even when we don't act like we're worth it, even when someone else doesn't deserve it. What blows my mind is that God is so consistent with us. He's faithful. He's there when we are good, when things are going great, and he's there for us when things are bad. He's there for us when things are hard and we're far from him. He's still close to us. God knows us. He understands us better than we understand ourselves, and still he chooses to love us fully. God is willing to be honest with us. He's willing to tell us the truth because he cares more about who we were made to be than to just leave us on our own. And that's the thing, is God is an almighty counselor, and he is willing to kick down any wall and tear down any lie and coming after us to pursue us as a friend. So there's three things that I really just want to leave you guys with. I know that we've kind of already discussed a lot tonight, but I think one thing that's really important that we need to do is we need to address what your friendship situation is. Do you have the kind of friends that you need in your life? Do you need new friends? Because that's one thing we can help with at Overflow. Do you have friends in your life that you need to be more intentional with? Do you have someone that you would say, this is a close friend of mine, but I haven't proved it? Secondly, how can you work on your friendships? How can you commit to consistency, to understanding, to honesty, and to counsel? How can you be working and taking active steps to grow in those things to improve your friendships? And the last thing is really just to pray for your friends. Because I think it's really easy for us to pray for people when they are doing things that we don't like. It's like, dear Lord, please just fix them. Fix that. It's too much. But I think if you actually earnestly pray for someone, what will happen is God will start to change your heart for that person. Instead of seeing them as a nuisance or someone who's doing something wrong or doing something against you, that you'll realize that that is how God could feel about us if he chose not to just love us anyway. And I think whenever you're able to just consider someone else and consider the fact that God loves them and sees them as a friend, that you can have compassion to be a friend as well. I think that when we do that, your lives are going to be changed for the better. So let's pray for our friends now. Let's pray for us now. Dear God, thank you so much for this night. Thank you for your truth, the truth of your word. God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the fact that you are there for us at all times, that you are always close. God, that you know us better than we know ourselves, that you knit us together in our mother's womb. You know where we've been, you know where we're going, and you still choose to come after us, God. God, thank you for your honesty. God, thank you for your word that is a lamp into our feet so that we can see our current situations, but also thank you that your word is a light unto our path so we can see the path that you have us. We can see the final destination of where you want us to go. God, we see that with friendship. We have a better view of that now, of who you're calling us to be as friends. Someone who's willing to lay down their life, to sacrifice for someone else the same way that you sacrifice for us. God, we thank you for just the ability to sit under your wise counsel. God, that you can build us up and encourage us in ways that we need, and you can challenge us and bring us truth in ways that we need. God, I pray that you just help us as we sort through all of this, of trying to understand friendships in our lives. God, some of us have some good friends in our lives that could be better, that could be more Christ-like, that could be more beneficial, that could show your love to this world. God, I pray that you just motivate us and show us some clear ways that we can make steps to love people well. God, I also pray that if we are in need of a community check, if we need to work on some of the people that we surround ourselves with, that you would do that, God, that you would give us people, you would bless us with people in our lives that can be there for us to encourage us, spur us on, to make us more like you. God, I just pray for this community, these people here, these students here at Overflow. God, we're seeking after you. We want to be like you. And so, God, let us practice that with the people that are around us. Let us show your love to the world that's around us. God, we love you so much, and we thank you for Jesus and what he did for us. And we ask all this in his name. Amen.